The GAA program is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
GAA Vegas Falchuk, Ian Clark, and Luke Glasscale, and a shocked in a show with me, Tom Comack, as always with you until 9 o'clock. And I think you're going to really enjoy tonight's program because we're taking a trip down memory lane with the last surviving member of the first ever St. Junan's Senior Football Championship team of 1948. Following the death last week of Father P.G. McGlenchey from Letterkenny here in South Korea, Con Halpin, who was a cornerback on that 1948 team that denied Gweedore a famous 5-in-a-row championship, is my special guest tonight. He joins me from his home in London. Con, a very good night to you and welcome, and delighted to have you on the programme.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah.
First of all, before we continue, I'd like to send my condolences to all the families of the other of the 14 people who played with me in 1948. In my prayers, people think when you're in exile that you forget. I don't forget. I never forget the people I've played with.
Yeah. Well, the most recent of the team to pass away was Father P.G. McGlenchey, who was a pioneering missionary out in South Korea. What are your memories of his playing days?
It was very strange about Father P.G. The previous year, I played in the second half against Gweedore, and they had a massive fullback, a fellow called Black Jack Gallagher, and he looked just as black as his name. He was terrifying. In 1948, they had Barney Coyle in at fullback. And Barney Coyle. So the people who were from Dalgan who knew about Bernard P.J. McGlinchey, they said they should shove P.J. in as full forward because he can just flap his hand around and maybe break the sight of Barney. And as it turned out, when Sean Curran got the ball round about midfield, Barney tried to get round P.J., round McGlinchey, P.J. But unfortunately, Barney fell. And Sean Curran, he might have intended hitting the ball into the space created by Barney's absence, but he might have hit it too hard. But I was in the back line at the time, and I thought the ball was going wide. It suddenly veered down below P.J., below Barney, right into the back of the net. So P.J. McGlinchey had played his part in getting up.
He hadn't touched the ball, but he still had played his part.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And tell me, you mentioned there Father P.G. was a Columban missionary. He was in Dalgan Park. There was quite a number of priests on that team, wasn't there?
There was my brother Colum and Father Dennis Curran as well. And the strange thing was, the very next day, after we had won the Donegal Championship, five of us left for Dalgan. P.J. McGlinchey, Dennis Curran, Pierce Dawson, my brother Colum, and I decided to become a clerical student to join Colum and the others. I was there for 3 years, then I went to university instead.
Yeah, so you didn't stick the course.
No, I decided to become a teacher.
Yeah. And tell me, what are your memories of 48? Obviously, you remember that incident and the Sean Curran goal. What else do you remember from the final against Gweedore? Because it was, a fifth final in a row for St. Junan's against Gweedore?
It was. They hadn't done well at all. In fact, in the previous year, they did very badly. I think they were beaten by about maybe 10 or 12 points. But whatever happened in the 1948 team, they seemed to go on long walks and they're determined to be as fit as the Gweedore team. And that Gweedore team was very, very fit indeed. Anthony Rogers, he tried to... In fact, he scored a goal, Anthony Rogers, in the first half. And in the second half, St. Junan's held them to just 1 point. So there were two goals at half-time, that's 6 points, and St. Junan's were going for points rather than goals, but they did get one goal, and I think they ended up with one goal and 7 points altogether. And that stopped Gweedore getting their five in a row. And I wrote to Father Sean Gallagher once or twice to say, Father, I was on that team that stopped you getting five in a row. Please excuse me.
Yeah. Can you recall the team?
Oh, I can, yeah. Well, the goals were Jay Dawson. He was a year younger than me. Tommy Kern, Jim McGlynn, Con Halpin, that's the back line. Halfbacks, Pierce Dawson, Eamon McMenamin, Paddy McGeehan. Centre field, Charlie Boyle and Dennis Kern. Right half forward, Paddy McGeehan. Centre forward, Colm Halpin, that's my brother. Left half forward, P.J. Dolan. I think he was working in the bank at the time.
Yeah, I think he was from Leitrim, I see him.
He was very, very fast runner, yeah. And the full forward, Eddie Boyle, P.J. McGlinchey, and Sean Curran. And I think they shifted Sean Curran then back to midfield because Danny Gillespie was creating havoc at midfield. So they shifted Sean back. So there's a bit of a quick change there. So that's St. Union's team here.
Yeah. And tell me, Gweedore were, as you say, going for five in a row. They were the big team in the county at the time.
Oh, they were a great team, yeah. And five of them played in the match in 1952 when they got to Croke Park for the first time. Five of that team. And they were almost impossible to beat. When I played down in Marygallen, I noticed that the grass was kind of springy. And I found I could jump higher than I normally could. Lovely grass down at Marygallen. But I think it's the only time they ever played in Marygallen. You can check that anyway. But I think that was the only time they had Marygallen for the final.
Yeah, so you played a final down at Marygallen. The 48 final, I think, was played in O'Donnell Park, was
That's
it?
That's right, yeah. And there was a great crowd there, of course, mainly Letterkenny.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Gweedore team. You couldn't... Could you name it? You mentioned Anthony Rogers.
Well, I know that Hughie Tim in the back you had Hughie Tim Boyle, who was of course a county player, Barney Coyle, and they called Don Coyle. Half back we had Paddy McGee, Seamus Kearney, and Big Connie McBride. Now I say Big Connie McBride because in the 1956 final, which we won. Big Connie was playing full forward. And then shoved me out as full back to Mark Connie. And I never did more pushing and shoving than I'd done in my life. But he towered over me, so I suppose the referee said, that young fellow, he couldn't really mean any harm. Yeah. So I got away with it anyway. And then they put me in the final... in the goal for the final against Ballyshannon.
And tell me, 48 had brought the end of a long famine. Was it, 21, 22? It was actually a first for St. Junans, but I think a Letterkenny side had won in 27. Was that right?
That's right, yes, they did, yeah. And I didn't know, of course, they were all probably dead by the time I was there because I was born 1929, so... Yeah, I think they had one replay. And they weren't very good at replays. I remember St. Junans always seemed to lose a replay.
Yeah. But what brought about the change in 48? Was there a good group of players just came through at the one time? Or, well, you had been knocking on the door for a few years, hadn't you?
Yeah, that's right. It was most of the same team. And they had different goalies every time. Dennis Kern was goalie in 1945. And then Eamon McMenamin, who sent a half in the 1948, he was in goals in 1946. And I think there was a former soccer player in goal in 1947. And then Jared Dawson, 1948. And then another one, 1949, a fellow called Michael Mellett. His father was in the local store.
Yeah, his grandson is on the Donegal team at the moment, plays for Gweedore.
Is that right?
Oran McNeilis, that very good forward.
Yeah, no way, is that right? Yeah,
yeah.
And would any people from Tyrone be listening to?
Yeah, oh yeah, sure. We have big listeners in Tyrone.
Well, you could tell them that I heard today that Sean McGrath, who played in the All-Ireland final and won it in 1947-48, he died about 3 days ago. And I played against him on the Donegal minor team in 1947, I think it was. Unfortunately, of course, we lost and they won and they went on to win the All-Ireland.
So Sean that was McGrath, the All-Ireland minor final.
That's right.
So where was Sean from?
Some part of Tyrone, I'm not sure where, but I just thought I might mention that because I only heard myself through my younger brother, who's also a Columban father.
Right. And was Sean living in England or was he still in Tyrone?
Sean was living at Dalgan because they have a place there for elderly.
He was a priest as
elderly
well?
Elderly priest, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sad to hear.
I met another famous old boy of Tyrone, Iggy Jones.
Yeah.
He played against Donegal when we won the Lagan Cup in 1952. And then he came up to Letterkenny with a team to play against St. Junan's College team. And I met him. He was teaching. I don't know where he was teaching, but I met him. And he was just as nice then as he ever was. He was a real gentleman, Iggy Jones.
As far as I know, he was a great friend of the late Pádraig McGeehan.
He might have been, because he was great at what we call toe-to-hand.
Yeah. Tell me, Colm, what part of Letterkenny did you grow up in?
Well, I grew up in Glencar, but I was born in a place called Malin Head, County Donegal. And then we came right down to a place called Carrick in the south.
Southwest, yeah.
Yeah, two more of the family were born there. By the way, there's eight boys and five girls in the family. And if you could imagine what happened when my father died in 1943, leaving 13 children, and my mother must have wondered, how would we survive? And I said to her, "Mommy, sit down, I'll make you a cup of tea, and we'll all survive together." Yeah. And we did.
Yeah, yeah. Where did you come in the family, Colm?
I came number six.
You were halfway.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And have you got family and connected family still living here?
Well, I've got my brother Anthony, who taught in Derry for a while, and then it got a bit dangerous because once or twice he thought he might be shot at, so he got some kind of guard on his one of his doors in case bullets came through it. Then he decided to retire.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing my maths here. You're what, 88?
I'm 88 and a half, yes.
Brilliant. And you have a great memory and a great recollection of those times.
Well, I remember. Sometimes people think when a person becomes an exile, he cuts himself off. No, he doesn't. Because it's not a good thing to keep remembering the past all the time, because we should live in the present. I often say to students, the past is a cancelled cheque. The future is a promissory note. The present is ready cash, spend it. So that's my motto for life.
And when did you emigrate to England, to London?
I emigrated in 1957. I did 1 year teaching at St. Eunice College. Then I decided to come over to England and applied for a job there and got it. And I was in the same secondary school where John Wilson was teaching for a while as well. John Wilson, who played in the 1947 All-Ireland.
For Cavan, yeah. And he later taught in St. Junan's.
He did, that's right. And then he went to Dublin and he taught my nephew, Eunan O'Halpin, who's now a professor of modern Irish history. I think he's at Trinity College in Dublin.
And tell me of your county playing days. You played county minor and county senior, county junior as well.
Yeah, I played county junior against County Meath. Unfortunately, we drew the first game, but then we played in Meath and it was just too good for us.
Yeah. What was that in a junior championship semi?
The All-Ireland junior semi-final, yeah. We played in that.
What year was that?
That was 1952 or 53, around that time.
Yeah, and you played in Croke Park as well in 52, did you, in the league semi-final?
Against Cork. And we kept them, I think. They didn't score a point in the second half, but we were a bit sort of taken aback in the first half. Mm. But the newspaper said that we put up a gallant fight.
Yeah, yeah.
So there were four Letterkenny people and five Gidore people on that team.
Who are they?
The four Letterkenny ones were let me see, Pierce Dawson, Pádraig McGeehan, myself, and a fellow called Bovril, Charlie Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his father made a brilliant presentation when we got the presentation of the 1956 team.
That's his son, Charlie.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And tell me, what other parts of the county were the players from?
I don't know what. Well, you had some people from Gador and a few from the south, from Ballyshannon, a few like that. Jim Natch was playing for Ballyshannon at the time. And Frankie Brennan from Ardragh, who's still alive.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Jim Natch died, but Frankie Brennan is still alive. They were very he was a very fast winger, Frankie. I hope he's listening to this as well. He's a very nice person, Frankie.
And did you keep in touch with those people?
I always write to them at Christmas time, and then they write back. Or they send a message through somebody else who lives there and is coming over to my part of London as well.
Yeah. So when you went to London, did you play any Gaelic?
No, I decided the only team I wanted to play for was St. Junes and Letterkenny. So I decided not to pursue my career. But when I was in Dublin, I got an offer from Shamrock Rovers to go for a trial. But I decided, well, my studies must come first. So I didn't go. But I was picked to box against Oxford as well for the university. And I was staying with my older brother, who's dead now, Pardeen, and I just couldn't ask him for the money, so I didn't go.
Yeah. So you were an all-rounder, a boxer, and also played soccer.
And I played a bit of basketball as well. Although I was a bit small, I could jump fairly high for the ball anyway.
Yeah.
But I flatter myself to think I was good at distributing the ball.
And tell me, Con, who were the early influences on you when you were growing up? Who were the people around Letterkenny in St. Junan's that had the big influence on you?
Well, Hughie McGovern was a very big influence on everybody. And Dermot McCall. Dermot used to go into Hughie McGovern's place. And Hugh used to get Dermot and me to polish his car. And as a reward, we were brought to county games sometimes. And to other club games as well. So we had free transport. As long as we kept polishing the bonnet for
So the car was gleaming.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And was there much underage football at that time?
Now, that's what I noticed when I was back the last time. The number of young people playing football in Letterkenny is absolutely fantastic. And it's great that some people give up a lot of their time. I know Father P.J. McGlinchey deserves every single credit people give him, because he changed people's lives out there in the Philippines. He was concerned for the poor, the old, the sick, the homeless, the unemployed, I believe, as well. And he states in an article that was written in 2011 in the Far East, That was his idea, giving people a chance to get employment and to get a better quality of their own lives as well. Right. And he's built a hospice for 25 people, a home for the elderly that holds 75, and a nursing home as well. You probably read all that anyway in the
paper. Yeah, he probably had a Gaelic football team as well. If we only checked. Tell me, I know. I'm holding on now, but it's a great story. Tell me, in terms of when you were in St. Junan's, was there much football at the time?
We weren't in the you know that cup that they play for
the McCrory Cup or the McLarnon Cup.
That's right. We weren't in that till my fifth year. And by that time, of course, it was a bit too late. So we played, I think, one or two games, and then we were beaten. But my younger brother, Shosu, played in one of the cups, and they got to the final and were beaten just by a point. Mm.
Obviously, winning championships with St. Junan's, and obviously playing for Donegal, winning Ulster Junior, obviously, and playing our Junior semi-finals, and getting to play in Croke Park. But getting to play in Croke Park was a huge thing.
It's such a privilege, because my father would have loved it. He was a great nationalist, and he learned Irish from scratch where he was in internment. So you love the idea of Colin playing Croke Park. Not Colin, not Podgy, not the eldest one, but young Colin, because I was nowhere in my first 3 years at St. Junan's. I wasn't on any team. Then St. Junan's minor team, they needed a full-back. And somebody said, why not try Colin Halpin? So I played full-back, and we won two county championships in 1947 and in 1946. And the other fellas didn't even know that I could play, and I didn't even know it myself. But from that, I got on the county minor team, and then I got on the St. Junan's senior team against Godore down at Barrigal. That was a massive sort of privilege for me as well, to play against Godore. I mean, anybody who liked football and who wasn't just with his head stuck in the sand would enjoy the way Godore played football. But St. Junan's did the very same thing in 1948, and I think we caught them out. They weren't expecting us to be so quick on the ball. For example, Paddy McGeehan gave the impression that he played in front of me. I was left full-back, he was left half-back. Paddy gave the impression that there was a space in front of him that belonged exclusively to Paddy McGeehan. So when the rush for the goal, getting the ball up to Sean Curran happened, Toot Gallagher thought he had the ball. Suddenly, something hit him like a whirlwind from the back, and the ball bounced out into Paddy McGeehan's hand, and off Paddy went, toe to hand. It passed to Sean Curran, and then, as I said, Sean finished it off.
Yeah, back at the net. Back.
With the help of dear Father P.J. McGlinchey.
And tell me, Con, we're just coming to the end here. Tell me, Con, in terms of you still follow Donegal's football and fortunes, do you?
Oh, every time, yeah. My sister-in-law, May, she sends me cuttings every single week about Donegal's progress and St. Union's progress as well.
Yeah, and of course, you follow Rory Kavanagh and footballers from the club that?
Rory's a lovely person anyway. And Brendan Devaney, he's another one. And I'd love to have met Michael Martin.
Michael Murphy, yeah.
Because I know he signed the thing when it was my 85th birthday. He signed his autograph on my birthday card.
Brilliant.
And I was very pleased about that.
Yeah. So you still watch, tune in and watch the games as well on television, do you?
Oh, yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. It's become more popular, hasn't it? Obviously, more television coverage and everything.
Oh, my goodness. It's absolutely marvellous. And Sky is great coverage. And the BBC.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we can't get your programme. Like, I would love to hear Highland Radio as well.
You can get Highland Radio on the internet, you can get it actually if you have a mobile phone. You can get it on if you have a smartphone. You can get it on an app, and you can listen to it. You get it. Somebody should set it up for you on your phone. You can get Highland Radio on the phone, or get it on www.highlandradio.com. So it's there for you. Believe it or not, modern age.
That's very good. Yeah, thanks for telling me that. Yeah.
But Con, it's lovely. It's been lovely talking to you. Great memories. What's the outstanding memory of your time playing with St. Junan's?
Well, with St. Junan's football team, my outstanding memory is Sean Curran's goal.
Yeah.
I jumped about 6 feet in the air and I came down on my side. When I got up, I said, didn't hurt me a bit.
Yeah.
It was so pleasant. And when we come up through the town, people out in Presbyterians, Protestants, Anglicans, anybody else who I had never seen before, cheering on all the... Unfortunately, there wasn't a non-Catholic play. There used to be one called Aki Cowan, but there wasn't a non-Catholic playing. But they all cheered.
Brilliant.
So
the win went down well in the town in general.
Absolutely marvellous. And then, as I said, five of us left the next day to go to Dalgan. And that's why, when the Democrat Cup came along, it was quite difficult for Letterkenny to get a team, because there was 10 players who were still there, but of the five, there were two or three.
Well, of course, when you went to the seminary that time, you weren't getting out for weekends or...
You're right. And in fact, Peter Quinn was the first person, I think, ever to get out from a seminary to play for Mayo in the All-Ireland final of 1951.
And your greatest memory of playing with Donegal?
It had to be the Lagan Cup final. That was great. I mean, to win the final for the first time was absolutely marvellous.
Who did you beat in that final?
We beat Armagh. And by the way, Armagh, I think, had been All-Ireland semi-finalist against Kerry the previous year. And we beat them in the Lagan Cup final after a replay.
So there was good footballers in Donegal even back then?
Yes. Back then, it's just a day or two ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I say to people, I might be getting older, but I'm not getting old.
Look, it's Con. It was lovely talking to you. I really enjoyed having you, and we'll hope to maybe talk to you again when they're celebrating maybe later in the year a 70th anniversary of that first success.
Oh, that's by the way, if any of Pather's family are listening, remember that Pather thought there was a space exclusively for McGeehan. So let's hope whenever his sons or grandsons or great grandsons go out, make that space theirs.
Yeah, well, he's got a couple of grandsons coming along, and they're quite good footballers
that's
as well.
Very good.
Con, Halpin, Slán agus Bannacht. Very good night to you.
Thank you very much.
Gee, if I could watch your ash, because you and Clark come and look last year. We're coming up to the closing minutes. Certainly very interesting listening to Con Dawson there, or Con Halpin there. Certainly a very good footballer, obviously. Simon's still a great old man, 88 and a half, almost 89. So certainly great memory as well. Fantastic recollection of that team. And just to remind you again of that first ever St. Junan's team to win a senior championship in 1948, ending Guido's bid for a five in a row. Gerald Dawson, he was from the Market Square, he was in goals. Jim Chun McGlenn, he was a famous footballer with Donegal. He was at full back with Tommy Curran on the right corner and Con Halpin in the left. You had Eamon McMiniman at centre half back and Pierce Dawson at right half back with Pather McGeehan, the left half back. It was Charlie McGinnis Boyle and Father Dennis Cannon in the middle of the field. The attack was led by Father Con Halpin. Colm Halpin, a brother of Con's, and you had right half forward Paddy McGeehan, and left half forward was Paddy Dolan. He was from Leitrim, in actual fact. The father, P.G. McGlinchey, who we spoke about earlier, and who sadly was laid to rest last Friday week in South Korea. He was at full forward with Dr. Eddie Boyle in the right corner, and the left corner was Sean Corn, scorer of that famous goal. There were three sets of brothers on that St. Junan's team: Tommy Curran, Sean Curran, and Father Dennis Curran. And you had two sets of Boyles. There was Charlie Boyle and Dr. Eddie Boyle, and then you had Con Halpin and, of course, Father Colm Halpin as well. They were brothers, and there was a set of twins as well. Pierce Dawson and Gerald Dawson were also cousins. So very interesting program, and I hope you enjoyed it, going down memory lane with Con Halpin. That's about it from me from this week. For Gugee and Stocks and the Juggin, Stanley's Bannacht.